Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff. Brought to you by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. And it is so good to have you back with us again today because we have another special, delightful person that we're going to be interviewing today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Really am. I've known Bunny for several years. She's always been a big supporter of me, I think. And I just appreciate Bunny McGinnis. Hi, Bunny.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, as I always say.
Well, we'll get into your health situation in just a little bit. But first, we want to ask you about your vision. Are you totally blind, and how did you lose your sight?
Yes, I am totally blind. Both of my eyes are prosthetic. I was born with a vision problem, and for the first, 20 years of my life, I had very little vision, and then I started having cornea grafts, and I got to the point where I could actually read large print. But then glaucoma started to use its ugly head, and, well, it kept on and kept on until it destroyed the cells in my one eye that I could see with, and one morning I woke up, and I thought it was still dark outside.
Mm.
And
the rest is history, as they say, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you became involved in the Missouri Council of the Blind. What? How long you been a member, and how did you find out about MCB?
I joined UWB in 1989, mm-hmm. And I stayed in UWB until I think I joined right in 2002. And then I became a member of Wright, and I don't think there was any member of the board that I didn't serve on except for Treasury. Uh-huh. I was president several years, and in fact, I was president. I was the last president of Wright because our treasurer had COVID, and she was sick she was in the hospital or in therapy for 6 weeks. Mm. And then I started becoming ill, and we thought it was just arthritis, but I kept getting worse and worse, and none of the arthritis medicine helped. And finally, one night I woke up and I couldn't move hardly because I was hurting so badly. It was an excruciating pain. And I went to the hospital, and they discovered that I had bone cancer.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And you are going through treatments now for that?
I have had my treatments. I have to have blood work every month. I have to see my doctor, my oncologist, every month. And I have to have an infusion every month. The blood work is to determine, of course, you know, how the medication is working with me in my system and the doctor. And then my infusion is the same medication that they use for people with osteoporosis. It's supposed to strengthen my bones and help heal them. I had multiple fractures, and I was diagnosed late. The doctor I was seeing then did not look at my records or anything from my breast cancer. Mm. And I kept telling her that I was getting worse and worse and worse, and she just wouldn't, and I finally almost forced her to do an x-ray. She did, but it showed, you know, arthritis and some other problems. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up and went to the hospital, they checked my records and they found it right away.
Mm. And when was this? How long has it been since you?
I had cancer for almost 2 years before I was diagnosed.
Wow.
That's why I can no longer walk. I have to use a walker and a wheelchair.
Mm.
I can't go out any place now except to my doctor's appointment because my immune system is so low and and I'm completely, you know, I can't go.
You have a really good attitude about it, Bunny.
Well, you know, Denny, it's what it is. We have to, we have to accept life the way it comes to us, you know?
Yes.
And I know that it's going to be with me for the rest of my life, but it doesn't frighten me, not really, because what they told me is bone cancer is not a death sentence in itself, but if it's not controlled and maintained, it can lead to other problems,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why I have to have the infusions, and that's why I have to have a CT scan every so often, and MRI, and even an MRI probably a few times a year,
mm-hmm.
And that's why they're so, you know, so that's why they're so hesitant about letting me go out any place or do anything.
Sure. It also helps to have the Lord on your side.
Oh,
amen.
My goodness.
Amen.
You know, when I think of my problems, Jesus suffered a lot more than I'm suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's you know, I whatever happens, I know what's going to happen to me. I know where I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, that's a great attitude. That's the way I think, too. So, Chip?
And yes, I have supported you.
I know you have, and I appreciate it, Bunny. I really do. So.
Yeah, Bunny, please know that I know that Denny and I, along with a lot of other folks, you certainly do have our thoughts and prayers. And I know the Lord is with you, working with you, so He will sustain you, that's for sure. Bunny, I want to go back. I know you attended Missouri School for the Blind. I know you do a lot of stuff with the alumni. Why don't you share with us about your time there at Missouri School for the Blind?
Okay, my first year was 1950. My mother had learning disabilities, and she would not allow me to attend school because we lived in Southeast Missouri, and she didn't want me to be away from her. And so I was older than I should have been. I was 8 years old. and all my friends at home, you know, had gone to school. And I was left alone. And they all got new clothes and everything. And I didn't get anything. And so I remember standing in the door between our living room and kitchen. And I thought, well, why can't I go to school? I want to go to school, too. So I went and I told my mother, I said, I want to go to school. And she said, all right, you know what school you'll have to go to. I said, yeah, I want to go to school. I'm going to go to St. Louis, and I'm going to join those blind people. And she said, okay. So we didn't have a lot of money. My father had passed away when I was three. And so she went to my Sunday school teacher and asked for help with getting me ready for school. My Sunday school teacher made all my dresses that year. Mm. And people from the church went together, and I was well supplied with everything I needed. So I went to school, and I got there on a Friday. And first thing I learned was that I couldn't carry a tuna in a bucket. And the next thing we did was Saturday, and we all went to the zoo. And I remember riding on an elephant, and her name was Jill, and who was going to become my best friend, Mary Lou, was riding with me. We were both riding on the elephant. And that will stick in my mind, I guess, forever. It was good. And then Sunday, a girl named Barbara came in, and she taught me how to write the letters A in Braille. She taught me how to write the letter A in Braille. And I went in all excited to Mrs. Hubbard, who was our principal at that time, I was all excited. I went in and I said, of course, I was a little country girl, you know. And I said, Miss Hubbard, I know how to write A's. And she said, okay. She looked and she says, okay, I know where I'm going to put you. So she took me to Miss Logan's room, and she put me in the second grade. I didn't know Braille. I didn't know anything, you know. But I did know the things that, you know, kids have to know. I knew my alphabet. I knew my numbers. I knew all that stuff. And Miss Logan taught me Braille. And then I went on to, let's see, I learned a lot that year. And then I guess my mind was just hungry for knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then I went to, I went on through school. The next year I went to the third grade. And then I went to the fourth grade. I skipped the fifth grade, and I went to sixth grade. Mr. Guest was my sixth grade teacher, and then I went on, you know, from there on through middle school and on through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in a lot of the activities, and my favorite thing I think was when we got the trampoline. I love that thing. And I remember for open house, Miss Kern, who was our gym teacher, physical education teacher, chose me to play on the trampoline, and I was so excited about that. And I met my husband Tom my senior year, and I really enjoyed school because we were like normal kids, except we couldn't see. We were allowed to date. We were allowed to go out, you know, after school and on weekends, mm-hmm. to the different stores in the community. And we had a lot of privileges, which I'm sure the kids don't have now, because it's completely different over there now than it was when we went to school.
Yeah. That must have been a bit very impressive on you, Bunny, for you to remember your first year there like you
did.
That was really something.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chip.
Yeah, Bunny, are there any members in MCB now that you went to school with at that time?
Yeah, Don Shockley. He was he was several grades ahead of me. Mm-hmm. I used to say that he was one of the nicest older boys. and he was. He really was.
Yeah.
And let's see. Yeah, I'm sure there was.
He still is, Bunny.
I know he does. Yeah. And he's gonna he's just getting older and older, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But he's still the same old guy that he's always.
Yeah.
And let's see, Bev was gone after I came in the fall of 1950. She graduated in the spring of 1950. Let's see, Tom Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
He was several grades ahead of me too.
Mm-hmm. You said Bev. You meant Bev Shockley. We have a lot of Bevs in MCB, so
Bev Shockley. And let's see, who else? Well, Jack and June were there, but they were younger than me. Oh my goodness! I can't think of anybody who's in. Let's see. I'm sure there are some people, but I can't remember who they are right now.
Well, you started your own business. I don't know how old you were when you did that or anything, but I think you operated a vending stand down in southeast Missouri, and you were quite successful.
I was. My work history. My first job was with Sonnen here in St. Louis. He had a branch called EMCO. It was located on East Prairie in North St. Louis, and I worked there. They weren't going to hire any totally blind person. Well, I wasn't totally blind, but I was practically totally blind. And I went for an interview. My counselor, Mrs. Donnelly, Frances Donnelly, sent me there for an interview. And went there, and I talked to Norm Sellers. He was the foreman. And I guess I must have charmed him into it or something, because he hired me. And I worked there for a couple of, I worked there for about 4 years. And then I went to, I went to Southeast Missouri, Poplar Bluff, and I worked in the cafeteria there. I was the manager of the cafeteria, and I did real well there. I liked the people. The people liked me. And
now, was that through the Randolph-Shepard Act?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. And I then after that, I stayed there until 77, I think it was. Then I came back to St. Louis because they at Row Furniture, that was the name of the place in Poplar Bluff. They had to lay off a lot of people, and of course my sales went down. And I had to help support two children. So we came back to St. Louis, and I went to work out on Page in another small place there, which didn't do any better than you know, the later years of Row. And so I stopped working there, and let's see. I went to work at the old Normandy Hospital. First, I was working in the dark room there, and then I became the receptionist there for the radiology department. And I talked to the patients, and you know, and I visited, I interacted with them, and so on. And I worked there until I only worked there for a year because they brought two little boys, twin boys, in one day, and they came and told me about it, and the mother had, these little boys were 18 months old, and the mother had stabbed them because the father wouldn't marry her. And I couldn't handle it. I just couldn't handle it.
Well, let's, let me look, stop just for a minute. You said you were a receptionist there. Back then, you didn't have computers, you know, to work with.
How did you do that? We had a switchboard, you know, when they would call into radiology department, and then I would contact whoever they wanted to speak to, and I would, you know, just I answered the phone there at the radiology department.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondering how you would operate something. It's hard to imagine that without computers anymore, you know?
I know, yeah. But we used to put telephone in the hole on the telephone and so on and switch it. We switched it over, and, you know, I had to learn all of that. And that's what we did. I was a little familiar with it because I did that at school, you know, part-time. When I was still in school, I worked switchboard on the weekends part of the time.
And then from there, you went to where?
From there, I went, From there, I went, it was quite a few years in between. Then I went back to Randolph-Shepard. And I had to go back to the training and everything because it was too many years. And when I went back to training, then I bid on a place on Goodfellow, the federal building on Goodfellow, and I had a very good facility there. I did very well. People liked me. I liked them. I had special customer appreciation days when I would give away free donuts and coffee, and then I would have during the holidays I would have special prizes that I would give out to the people.
Wow.
And, of course, they love that, you know.
Yeah.
And I did very well there. And then a lot of the people there, federal people, went to, another state, Indiana, I think it was. And so I left there, and the fourth floor. On Goodfellow, and that place didn't do as well as it should have because there weren't that many people in that area. And then from there, I went out to Hazelwood, and I had a bank of machines in a big cafeteria order. I worked at the Bell, at the Bulk Mail Center, and I did really well there. That job enabled me to retire comfortably, you know, because I saved and invested and so on.
And you raised, two daughters?
Two daughters, yeah.
Yeah.
I have my two daughters, seven grandchildren, and I'll soon have seven great-grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
March 22nd.
Huh.
And the thing that bothers me, Denny, is I have to miss the baby shower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I can't go to the baby shower.
Yeah, well.
I can't go to our Alliance governor's visit meeting on the 18th because of the same problem.
Mm-hmm. And you're pretty involved in the Lions.
I'm very involved in the Lions, yeah. Not as much as I was at first, because I can't be. But I was president of the Lions Club, of the Maplewood Lions Club. I've been on every, I've been on every position in the board except for Treasury.
Huh. Chip?
And,
yeah, I thought maybe you forgot about me, Denny. So, Bunny, I got two quick questions for you. You mentioned about your daughters, and you mentioned a little bit about your mom. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes. I have, my two older sisters have passed away. My sister Lola was 9 years older than me, and my sister Audrey was 7 years older than me. Then it drops down to me. And then my sister Florence, who is developmentally challenged, she's 3 years younger than me. And then my brother is 6 years younger than me. My brother is he's my half brother, but he's still my brother. Yeah. And
okay.
So I do have brothers and sisters. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And not really going to get into a specific area here, but. Because I know you don't like to mention your real name, but can you just tell us how you came up with the name Bunny?
Yes. In Girl Scouts, I starred in a play, in a three-act play called On Account of Larry. And Bunny was the name. Bunny was my name.
Okay.
And it stuck.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that play, On Account of Larry, so...
Huh. Yeah, it was a college play.
Uh-huh.
It was a boarding school, about girls in a boarding school, and Bunny was going to see her boyfriend Larry was coming to see her, and her aunt Clarissa was supposed to come and talk to the head of the boarding school. I don't remember her name, but anyway, Jane and Bunny were coming back from the train station, and Jane hit a lady. She almost hit a lady.
Mm.
And this lady was they called her finger. So what was it? Anyway, she was a thief. And so it just went on from there. It was a comedy, really.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I'm amazed at your memory, how you can remember that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? My mother was schizophrenic. And she hallucinated a lot at the end of her life.
Mm.
And I vowed that I would not let that happen to me.
Yeah,
and I kept my brain and my, you know, I kept active in a lot of different things. I'm also on the board of Midwestern Braille.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the Lions. And then I was president of Wright, but Wright is no more.
Right.
What was it about MCB that drew your attention, that or excited you, that, you know, where you wanted to join the organization?
At that time, I wasn't, you know, my kids were grown. I didn't have a lot to do, and I thought, well, why not join MCB? And then I talked to some of the people, Don and Bev, and Don and Bev Shockley, and John and Donna Wheelick, and Jeannie and Bob Jaco. I talked to them, and they talked me into joining, and so I did. And because I thought it would be, you know, something exciting, something different. I wasn't sure exactly what it was at that time, but I joined, and I was very happy that I did, because we had a lot of fun in those days. Mm-hmm. We really did.
Well, one of the things that you didn't mention was, I know you were the chair of emergency preparedness, which you did fabulous job there, and I really appreciated all that you did with that committee.
She was also membership chair for a while.
Yeah, too. And I was also, what is that one called? When you give the report on how many people are there,
Credentials.
Credentials. Yeah. When Kathy was there, yeah. Kathy and I went to school together. We even double dated together. I was chairman of that committee too.
Devonnie, anything you would like to share with the people about MCB or about Bunny or?
MCB is a good organization. I've sent an application to the membership committee to become a member at large, because mm-hmm. I can no longer attend meetings.
Yeah.
I probably won't be able to attend meetings. And I just want to tell everybody that I hope that if they happen to have some kind of, disease or problem, don't give up, mm-hmm. Don't let life pass you by.
Yeah.
Because life is precious. Life is a gift of God. And we all should appreciate it to its fullest.
Yeah.
And I believe that everything has a purpose. And God knows what that purpose is. And we just have to accept it for the way it is. And, you can live a normal life. They've told me that bone cancer is not a death sentence, but it has to be maintained and controlled to keep it from spreading anyplace else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you do whatever you have to do to follow the instructions of your doctors and
right.
just believe in them, okay? And just keep a smile on your face and keep a good attitude about it. And there's no self-pity never did anything for anybody.
That's right. Yeah.
So just keep a good attitude and you'll be a lot happier.
Yeah. We talked about this before we started recording, but Chip, you want to ask your question?
Let me first though tell you, Bunny, how much we appreciate you being on today, but we recognize that, how really important your faith is to you, and that's so important. So we appreciate your sharing that with us. But my question, Bunny, is, as Denny had mentioned that we were going to ask you this question, is there anything about Bunny McGinnis that maybe not really hardly anybody knows except those that are really closest to you that you would like sharing with our listeners?
In some ways, Bunny is a private person, or used to be. Bunny has always tried to, let's see, how can I say this without... Bunny has a mischievous side. Bunny used to be very... I'm not going to say that.
I think everybody kind of knows where you're going with that, so you probably don't have to say anything, Bunny. But that's part of Bunny that people liked.
Yeah, I tell you, one of the things I always appreciated about Bunny is that during convention, Bunny is a hugger. She likes to hug people, so that I always appreciated that about her.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do that anymore, though.
Yeah.
You were a fun person to be around, and
yes,
we miss you at the conventions, and of course we miss everybody at the conventions the last couple of years. Yeah.
Denny, do you remember? Hello, handsome. You don't remember that?
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, okay. Hello, handsome.
Oh, oh yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I'm kind of a teaser too.
Yeah, I remember what your daughter said too about me one time.
What did my daughter say?
She said, "He's a handsome older gentleman." Oh, thanks. I think.
Yeah, she's quite a girl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bunny, I enjoyed it today.
You met a lot of my family. You met
yes.
Jan and Bailey and a lot of different people.
Yes, yeah. Yep. So. Even when I trained you on the computer, you took me into your bedroom. So.
Now, that's a secret. That, Denny, you're not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, I've talked about that to everybody. Sure have. So.
I know. Embarrassed me like that.
That was same funny, though, when you lived up in Sullivan, Missouri. So.
Yeah, I know. First thing I said to him when he came to teach me, I said, "Come on into my bedroom."
Okay. Bunny, thanks again. We appreciate your time this morning and be praying for you. Hang in there. If you ever need anything, Chip and I are available. Just give us a holler.
You bet.
And folks, thank you for listening to Meet the People of MCB. If you have someone that you would like for us to interview, be sure and give me a call at 636-428-1500 or call Chip at
417-540-9703.
Keep listening to Meet the People of MCB, and you might even hear yourself on here. God bless y'all, and thanks again, buddy.